It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Welcome back. The final hour has arrived, and we'll continue with your phone calls. A few more guests, share a few nuggets of information with you that have been going on this afternoon. And, okay. Nick Saban believes he's more approachable than you think. Have you heard what he had to say?
I think that most of you all, including the person asking the question, sort of think I'm not approachable. And I don't think that's the case at all. So one of the things that I've always found the radio show to give me an opportunity to do is to allow people to approach me and see how approachable I am. So we let people at the venue ask questions. We let call-in people ask questions. I think it's a good thing for me to, you know, see some of the media people that are actually host on the show. I get to know them a little bit better. They see a little different side of me. I see a little different side of them. So I think it's nothing but, you know, sort of an opportunity to build positive relationships. And, you know, sometimes you get a bad call, but sometimes we deserve a bad call. I mean, sometimes I don't think we did very well either. So why should somebody out there not think we did something very well? So I'm not offended by people who call in. I think it's an opportunity for them to approach me and me to have respect for them and how they support the program.
92 SEC championship 30 years ago. Remember, we had Roy Kramer on the other day. He was the commissioner who put this game into orbit. It was the first time it actually started years earlier. There was a the previous commissioner found some provision by the NCAA that allowed for a postseason game. It was very controversial. Everybody said it was illegal, but it wasn't. And now everybody does it. Alabama needed to win that game. They had a perfect season, and it took an Antonio Langham interception of Shane Matthews to seal the deal. And let's get back to the calls here and check out Randy in Georgia. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thanks for calling.
I have two questions for you, real quick. I wanted to see one game you're looking forward to the most, and what channel will the SEC football game be on now that the Big Ten has that contract with CBS?
Yeah, well, Randy, the SEC game will be on CBS this year and next. And then it will go to probably ABC or ESPN. I'm guessing ABC.
Well, I mean, you think if they go on ABC, you can get more people to watch it that way.
Yeah, that's a theory. It's not always proven out, but more than likely the prime time, the number one game will be on ABC on Saturday night.
So what game are you going to do it for till week one this year?
I guess probably I'm intrigued by the Georgia-Oregon matchup because I think Georgia should be able to handle them, but I would be a little concerned about Bo Nix, the unpredictability of him in the ultimate statement game of his career.
Well, all I got to say is go Dawgs and let's go win another national championship.
Thank you, Randy. You have a good day. Really appreciate it. Cowboys up next in Florida. Hello, Cowboy.
Hey, Paul. How you been, man?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Last time I spoke to you, Paul, I believe my wife had recently passed. Right. I would like to thank all the listeners for all the prayers and all that I've heard on the show. And thank you very much for allowing me to share this.
Well, Cowboy, thank you for saying that, but we appreciate you trusting us enough to talk about something that difficult. And I'm always hesitant to ask somebody how they're doing in a situation like this because I know the answer is usually not very good. But I'm hoping every day is a little bit easier for you.
Well, it has. Things have gotten a little better, Paul. And like I say, prayers and the Lord is the best thing in the world, no doubt about it.
Well, we will all, Cowboy, we will all continue to think about you and your wife, and hopefully you will find a little bit of peace, and I hope we can continue to have these conversations.
All right, Paul, I appreciate that. One other thing I want to ask, I see an Alabama elite defense coming this year. What do you think?
I agree with you. Last year was a little bit patchwork. It was young, and I know that's a cliche, but it's true. And there just seems like there are more players. The addition of Eli Ricks, I think, is a really significant move. It always starts with Will Anderson, and I think because of that, there's just so many elite players that are on the team. I mean, last year there were a number of players, but it just didn't always mesh perfectly.
No, it did not. And excuse me, I think it's be a year left. The defense, the offense probably a little slow, but the defense are carrying along, and they should do very well, I think.
Thank you very much, Cowboy. You stay strong. Peacock is up next in Alabama.
Paul, well, what's going on?
Hey there. How are you?
I'm good. I love your show, man.
Thank you.
I'm in Mobile. I was listening to Nick Saban. He is about as approachable as my German Shepherd female while she's dropping a deuce. I mean, come on. I mean,
yeah,
Peter, you know,
I don't know what the question was, but I have to agree with you. That was really a weak response by Saban to analyze. I mean, it's one thing for him to analyze a future opponent.
Now, German Shepherd.
Yeah, but that was ridiculous. I agree.
I got two female German Shepherds, Paul. And can you imagine if they're, one of them's trying to drop a deuce, if you try to approach them, what would happen?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm familiar with German Shepherds. But why is the female more unapproachable?
Well, Paul, my wife may be listening, so I'm not going to stay, but you're married. You should know that.
Okay. You've answered my question.
Hey, Paul, I love your show, man. And one reason why you'll talk to old country boy from Alabama like me or, you know, some celebrity or coach, whatever, man. Love your show.
Well, thank you very, very much. And you take care of yourself, and I hope your wife wasn't listening. Mark is in Oregon. Hey, Mark.
Paul, how are you? I'm new. I've been listening to you since the SEC media days to try and get some idea of what this Georgia team is going to look like. Go Ducks. But I'm really impressed with your show and your callers talk about people had essential casting. I hope maybe you have a brew pub down there that I'd love to come visit all your friends. But anyway, curious to know your opinion on Coach Lanning and how he was at Georgia. And your projections and how he'll do here at U of O.
Yeah, Mark, I didn't know him well because you don't know assistant coaches that well. But let me offer this. We were doing our program in Vegas for the NFL draft, and Coach Lanning was going to be our first guest. And all of a sudden, he showed up about 45 minutes or an hour beforehand. So I went in and said hello to him, and we ended up sitting there for most of that time. And I will tell you, I don't know when I've been more impressed in meeting a football coach. He was just charismatic. He was smart. He made some reference to a previous time that we had met when he was a graduate assistant on Nick Saban's staff. And I know that just personal interactions don't always tell everything. But it does tell a lot when it comes to recruiting. I know he can coach. It's a big step up. It's a big stage that he's going to be on. But I frankly think if he can back it up on the field, he could be one of the brightest coaches in the future in college football.
Well, that's good to hear. Really impressed with your opinions watching you on ESPN, which, by the way, I hope Klyavkov negotiates a great deal with ESPN so that we end up getting you on the West Coast. And one last thing, really impressed with your mentoring of these college reporters. That's outstanding. Good for you. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Mark. Yeah, we have one more coming up in a minute. And again, I my role in this back to school is pretty minor. Some of our young people on our staff have really spent a long time and put a lot of work into getting us in touch with all these student reporters. And speaking of that, we will talk to another one coming up here in just mere moments. We hope you'll stick around.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We head back to school. Our final guest of the afternoon, Robert Stewart, joining us from the Arkansas Traveler. Of course, covers the Razorbacks. Robert, thank you for making time. Good afternoon to you.
You bet. How you doing, Paul?
We're doing really well. We appreciate you being on, and I like your backdrop. Tell us, before we even get to the Razorbacks, where are you?
About 24 hours ago, I got to San Diego, California. I've been at practice Monday and Tuesday this week, and taking a little quick vacation right before school starts on Monday. So it's a great time out here.
You picked a gorgeous place. So, well, thanks for being here. Let's talk about the Razorbacks. We had KJ on earlier this week. He seemed really upbeat. The optimism is high. What did you see and what are you sensing?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the optimism's high around this program. It starts with Sam Pittman. You can tell his leadership, his energy, his confidence about his team is trickling down. You've heard it from all the position coaches. You've heard it from all the players that we've spoke to this fall camp. You know, it just seems like the standard's higher now that they know how to win games. They won 9 games last year, and the standard's been raised. Everybody's mentioned that. And it seems like, you know, they're not there yet, but we're, 2.5 weeks away from week one against Cincinnati. So they've got a little bit of time to figure it out, and I think they feel really good about where they are right now.
Yeah, unlike some programs where it all eyes are on the QB, that is not the case. Having been to the practices and talking to the coaches, where are the biggest and the hottest conversations? Where do they surround?
Yeah, wide receiver is an interesting one right now. Treylon Burks. Obviously, that's a huge loss out wide for the Hogs. He's doing really well in Titans camp right now. But the big name that people think could emerge as kind of a replacement for him is Jaden Hazelwood, transfer from Oklahoma. He's a big dude. He's he told us the other day he's not a super vocal leader in that room, but he's good. He's going to be good. He's who else is out there? There's Warren Thompson and Keytron Jackson. Those two guys are expected to make a bigger jump. They've been with the program for a little bit. And then there are three freshmen in Quincy McAdoo, Sam Mbake, and Isaiah Satania that they're getting a lot of attention even as freshmen. So wide receiver is one to keep your eye on as far as offensive goes. And then defensive line, they're losing three starters from last year. They're all seniors. There have been three names that have really come out there as well. Isaiah Nichols, Deshaud Stewart, Sam Pittman said after the scrimmage on Saturday, he's playing the best of the group right now, and Terry Hampton, transfer from Arkansas State.
Robert Stewart with us. Robert, you grew up in Alexandria, Virginia, literally right outside of Washington, D.C. I mean, you can walk over from D.C. into Alexandria, but that is not exactly telling the whole story of your lineage to the state of Arkansas. Tell us about your endless number of relatives who went to school in Fayetteville.
Yeah, so my dad grew up in Fayetteville. My mom's from Little Rock. She went up northwest to the U of A, and all four of my grandparents went to school there as well. My mom's father, David Dickey, was a running back for the Hogs in the 60s. Played there from 65 to 68, I believe. Won the Sugar Bowl in 69. And his high school graduation gift to me was his 1968 Southwest Conference Champions ring.
Yeah, and by the way, I mean, Arkansas's had some tough times, but late 60s were pretty vintage Frank Broyles teams. The next year, of course, the famous Texas-Arkansas game that the whole country was talking about, and many in Arkansas are still talking about. When you grow up around that, is there any doubt where you're going to end up?
I mean, I feel like I didn't really think about college realistically. I mean, I grew up watching the Razorbacks, and that was a whole bunch of fun. I remember in 2017, I was in Fayetteville visiting my grandparents, and I went to the game against Coastal Carolina that weekend in the fall, which was not a great game. It was one of Brett Bielema's last. But I went on an official tour there, and one of the professors, Jenna Shelton, is a family friend of ours. Her husband actually introduced my parents, and she recruited me essentially to study journalism and attend the University of Arkansas.
Which is where I want to go next, because, you know, sometimes you grow up in families that are involved in the industry. Some young people just find it because they're curious. That was the moment, obviously. How has it gone since then as you have learned more and studied more?
Yeah, it's been a blast. I mean, I've always known that I wanted to work in sports, and journalism really gave me the perfect in. I remember my first week on campus at the U of A, I signed up to be a staff reporter at the Traveler, started covering soccer that year. Did some club hockey in the winter, and then did very little baseball before COVID hit and shut everything down. I became the sports editor the year after that. Jumped up one more step, became the digital managing editor, and now I'm about to enter this year as the editor in chief of the Traveler. So, it's been fantastic.
You graduate in the spring, and I'm sure I'm the first person to ever ask you, considering all your family members, what you're going to end up doing when you graduate. What's it look like?
Well, I've got another job at hogbeat.com right now. I want to shout out to my friend and colleague Mason Choate over there. I believe you had him on last year.
Right.
He's been great, hoping that we can keep that going for as long as we can. But, you know, having been here for 24 hours, I'm thinking, wow, it might be nice to cover the Padres for, you know, some outlet out here. But, yeah, I mean, ultimately, Major League Baseball is where I want to be. I've got my College World Series shirt on. Right now, I was in Omaha covering the Razorbacks in June. That was a great time, and hope to do that at the professional level one day.
Robert, we're asking all of our young journalists, friends, to give us their thoughts on the upcoming season. I'm sensing, don't want to bury the lead here, that you think the Razorbacks are going to have quite a year.
Yeah. I mean, is 9 wins attainable again? It's tough. I mean, you hear it every year. It seems like Arkansas somehow ends up with the toughest schedule in college football, just time and time again. I mean, two of the four non-conference opponents this year, you see Cincinnati and BYU, they're both ranked. So, gosh, I mean, Bowl seems attainable for sure. I think if they could get to 7 or 8 wins after the regular season, then you call that a success.
Well, listen, we are going to all be in Fayetteville 2 weeks from tomorrow and Saturday. We hope you'll come by and say hello. And it was a pleasure to meet you, and all the very best to you as you continue.
Yeah, you bet. I'll see you there, Paul. Thanks so much for having me on. This was great.
Thank you, Robert. Robert Stewart joining us from the Arkansas Traveler. We'll take a short break. We still have plenty of time for you to get in here at 855-242-7285.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, don't forget, this is a special event. The Feinbaum Show goes to Twitter Spaces. We promised you that a number of months ago. Shane Beamer will drop by, Blake Sims, and Roman Harper. That will be at 11 Eastern on Twitter. Let's... And Jim from Tuscaloosa will also be on. Dwayne is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Dwayne.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I've heard that 100 times. I said I wasn't going to say it. But, you know, I just wanted to tell Jeff that it doesn't matter how much money the Big Ten gets every year, they can't win championships. The SEC wins championships. And Daniel reminded me when I was talking to him about the money that you get from winning championships. And I guess Jeff don't keep that in mind, you know, and he just, I don't know why he runs his mouth. I can't understand. Everybody knows the SEC's the best, and they can't make enough marquee games. They ain't got enough good teams to fill three stations. That's stupid. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you that, Paul. Get your thoughts on that, and I hope you have a good day, man.
Hey, thank you for calling. I do appreciate it. Jackie is in Virginia. Hello, Jackie.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted you to know that I think Mark Stoops is the most underrated college football coach in America. And I think what he's done at Kentucky is phenomenal. And I just don't think people really recognize it as much as they should. And I also think that Coach Calipari needs to be quiet about, you know, whether we're a football school or a basketball school, because we're a school. That's the way it should be. And we all support our Wildcats. And I love your show. I hope you keep doing it. And I'll say this. Keith Jackson was the greatest in college football. And Caywood Ledford was the greatest in college basketball. Love you. God bless
you.
Thank you,
Jackie. I agree with both of your assessments there. Those were two incredibly unique people. Caywood was always my favorite to listen to whenever we could pick up. And usually we would listen to him on the station in Louisville. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. James is up next. Hey, James.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
All your callers calling in and saying everybody's going to upset Georgia. I've heard Oregon's going to, Kentucky, Florida, Tennessee. I just wonder if you thought we'd even had a chance to have a winning season this year.
I don't. I think it's 0-12 for the Bulldogs.
All right. Thanks for taking my call. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Well, it'll be great in a couple of weeks when we quit making preseason predictions? I think so, too. Charlie is up next in Kentucky. How are you, Charlie?
Good, Paul. Paul, I want to tell you that I agree with Jackie there, that I am so appreciative of Coach Stoops in Kentucky. He has breathed life into our program and brought it up to a level that we never thought possible. Went to Kentucky, and I suffered through some of the dark times there. And I do disagree a little bit with Calipari, although he is one of the prime recruiters in all of college basketball. I can't say that he is maybe the best coach. I agree with you in that there may be a better coach available, but in terms of a CEO for a basketball program, I don't know that we would stand a good chance of getting one. And I want to just say that I appreciate what you bring to college football. I just went out down to Alabama to drop my son off. I'd never been to that campus, and my hats are off to Alabama. I realized that that is a football school. We have done really well at our basketball school, but the way it's laid out, the campus, the feel, the appreciation that those people have for football, it's to a new level. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Charlie, what's he going to study down there?
He is pre-med. He's a very smart young boy.
Well, I wholeheartedly endorse that. Not that I was ever I couldn't even pass chemistry, but I do know a few people who have, and that's a phenomenal field, and it's really a good school. People act like Alabama is a football school and they don't have academics, but you know it. Their highest level scholarship students are right now ranked among the very best around. Thank you for the call, and I wish him all the best down there. Preacher Man is up next.
Hey, Paul, good to talk to you, buddy.
Thank you, Preacher.
I just wanted to make a few comments about the SEC and how good I'm loving all these new coaches and looking forward to the new season. I was just wondering if there's any way we might could ever get Vandy out of the SEC and get a team that's worthy. I'll listen to your comment. Thank you.
Yeah, I think when you join the SEC, you normally stick around. Now, a couple of schools have dropped out, Georgia Tech, Tulane, but there's usually a reason. But I don't see Vanderbilt in any big hurry to leave. And as Roy Kramer made reference to the other day, he's the former athletic director there. Vanderbilt does well in a lot of other sports. We know how they have one of the best baseball programs in the last 10 years. But football has been a struggle, and I have no earthly idea whether Clark Lee can get it done. But he is saying all the right things so far. Thank you for the call. Davis is up next. Hello, Davis.
Hey.
Oh,
I got a question, Paul.
Okay. I'm listening.
At the end, yes, I apologize. You know, they give the Heisman out way before the season's completely over as far as your national championship, your bowl games. Last year, I called on a couple occasions about Stetson Bennett. I know it's water under the bridge, but why do they not hand out the Heisman after the final game? All the trophies.
Well, yeah, you make a good point. I've asked people this because
can I ask really, one more for you?
By
answer,
the way,
please.
One more thing: the MVP, I think, in Major League Baseball and in the NFL is also selected, I believe, before the final game. So this is not college football is not unique in that.
Yeah. Well, could I ask you one more thing, please?
Sure.
If Stetson Bennett was on the same platform in the national championship, would he have been a candidate for the Heisman then?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that game was enough to put him in the Heisman race.
Okay. Well, now just being curious, I called you a couple times last year.
He had one of the best fourth quarters in college football history, but
yeah.
I'm giving you a quick answer. I don't think Heisman voters, of course, you just can't. Had that been the SEC championship game, Would he have been a contender? He could have come out of nowhere and maybe gotten votes. I don't think ultimately, though, he would have finished in the top five.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your comment.
Right. It didn't even start at the beginning of the season, as you probably know, but that's not really important now. Bubba is in Kentucky. Hello, Bubba. Yep. Hey, Bubba.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Are you there?
I sure am.
It's Butler.
Hey, Butler. Tell Bubba hello if you see him.
Yeah, okay. I got a cousin we call Bub, so I will tell him hello for you.
I think everybody in the South has a cousin named Bubba.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely. That's first time calling, Paul. I appreciate you taking my call. How you doing?
We're doing great, Bubba. Butler, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're
the
good.
Butler
you can
did
call
it.
Me whatever you want. The Butler did it. That's exactly right. I actually wrote a song back when I was playing music that my buddy's name, The Butler, did it because it was all just instrumental. It didn't have any words to it.
Let me ask you, what type of music did you write?
It was like blues rock.
Okay. Wow.
It was kind of like if you took, you know, a little bit of all the best of rock and mixed it with a little bit of blues, and that's the kind of music I wrote.
Sounds pretty inviting.
Yeah, we named our band Bad Habit because every one of us in it had a bad habit, and we were just like, you know what, we all got a bad habit, so we'll
that's
just
funny.
Name the band Bad Habit.
I was lead guitarist in a group called Bad Company. You may have heard of them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. love you, Paul. What I was calling about, I had a few different things. First thing, the SEC and the Big Ten and everybody wanting to add stuff. Do you think that's a good idea? Because I kind of like it the way it is.
Well, ultimately, it's a terrible idea because we're still trying to figure out how to deal with the last iteration nearly 10 years ago. And the SEC, for example, have been arguing back and forth for exactly a year now on the inclusion of Texas and Oklahoma, which hasn't even happened yet. And if you start adding more to that, it becomes really complex. But it's going to happen, so like it or not, get ready.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I'm with you. I think they should just leave it the way it is. But second of all, all this going on with Coach Cal and Coach Stoops and all that, you know, it's a bad look for our school. I'm, of course, a Wildcat fan. I'm in Kentucky. I get that it's a bad look. I also get that it's given us a lot of attention on the football side, which we undeniably deserve because Stoops has done such an awesome job. Cal has done a great job. I know he ain't brought as many championships home as all us Big Blue Nation would hoped that he would have. And I heard that you said, you know, maybe Cal ain't right for us anymore and all that. I'm sorry I ain't been able to listen to the show the last few days. I've worked late. Can you kind of iterate on that a little bit?
Yeah, Butler, I think Cal is fine right now. I was doing an interview and I was just ranting and raving about the situation. And I simply said that there are plenty of really good coaches out there and you have to ask the question. Now, I think ultimately this has been very good for Mark Stoops. It has put him on a national stage, which he deserves. I don't think it's been very good for Cal because we're now 8 days into the controversy and it still doesn't really have a resolution. It's calmed down, but it's not over yet. We'll take a short break. A few minutes remaining on a Thursday afternoon. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tomorrow, Sonny Dykes will join us, the new coach at TCU, after the legendary career of Gary Patterson. We'll talk to Coach Dykes tomorrow afternoon right here. Back to calls, and Tim is up next in the ATL. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
I was calling in today to get your thoughts about the new contract deal with the Big Ten, and also, what do you think, or how do you think it's going to affect the SEC? I was reading an article on ESPN today where they talked about how the SEC is going to be exclusively with ESPN. So I guess my thoughts are, like, how does that affect CBS, you know, and the traditional Saturday, the traditional game day? What are your thoughts on that?
Tim, I'll briefly explain. Ultimately, when this contract goes into effect, which is scheduled for 24, it could change, but right now, if it doesn't, you will have for the Big Ten, you'll have a Fox game at noon. That will be their lead game, Michigan, Ohio State, things like that. Then 3:30 will be the CBS game, and then they'll have an NBC game at night. They'll also have the Big Ten Network to show whatever else it has not been shown. So meanwhile, you go to the SEC.
Right.
You'll have any number of possibilities, but I would think, this has not been determined yet, but you'll either have your primary game at 3:30 Eastern or in prime time, depending on the week. And I think, you know, right now ESPN will have the flexibility to do whatever it wants. You can have one game on ESPN. You can put the other game on ABC. ABC is part of
right.
Disney, which is ESPN. You'll have your normal games, I think, at noon, 3:30, and 7 on the SEC network. You'll probably have another game on ESPN and ESPN2, but the prime game will probably be in prime time, if I had to guess, on ABC.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, Paul. I appreciate that.
Thank you. It's a little confusing.
All right, you have a good one.
And thank you. And sometimes it will change from week to week because, you know, sometimes the best game, you know, probably ought to be at 3:30 in the afternoon. Sometimes it'll be prime time. But because there'll be basically one group of people making all the decisions, they'll have the flexibility to do whatever they want. It's not like it was. If you go back to 2011, You had the game of the century building between Alabama and LSU. The game was scheduled for 3:30 in the afternoon. CBS had to go to ESPN and make a trade. Mike Oresko was the president at CBS Sports at the time, in charge of college football, and they had to trade off. I can't remember what the deal was to allow that game to go into prime time. And make it one of the most watched games in modern college football history. Justin is in Charlotte. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. First time caller. Hey,
thank you
very much.
I just
wanted to know, I know you're an alumni at UT. I'm in Charlotte, and I've been a fan for 20, 30 years of the Volunteers, and was just wondering, what do you think that it would take for us to get back to the top? I feel like we're on the uptick, but then, you know, people say that we're terrible and we'll never get back, or we have violations or sanctions and things like that.
Yeah,
and I'm just wondering, I'm sure you've talked about that.
Yeah, ultimately, I'll hit the NCAA part of this first. I don't think the NCAA investigation is going to affect Tennessee one iota. I think it's already affected them a little bit from a recruiting standpoint, and obviously all the players that departed. I don't think that will stop. I think right now it's a matter of Josh Heupel continuing what he's doing. A big year, this year or next, perhaps this year, could really propel them. And what they have to do to get in contention is not just have one good recruiting year, but to pile on the recruiting years. If you study recruiting, and the teams that play for the national championship have normally been number one in recruiting or in the top two or three. So Tennessee has to find a way to land in the top five on a consistent basis. It almost happened under Butch Jones, and then it fell apart. I think it can be done. Tennessee has enough infrastructure built. enough things going in its favor that I think they can get there.
Well, and I'm sure you talk about this a lot. I apologize. I work a lot, so I watch the show when I can, but I'm sure you talked about this a lot. But will the sanctions hurt our team going forward?
Justin, my best guess is no, because I don't think there are going to be any serious sanctions. Hate to run. We'll continue this conversation tomorrow. We're out of time, and we're coming right back tomorrow.